the road must have a code that you can live by, and so become yourself, because the past is just a goodbye. Teach your children well. Their father's hell did slowly go by, and feed them on your dreams, the one they picked.
Hello and welcome to Education Now. This is your host, Athena Melville. In this September 2015 edition, we focus on Parent Strike with the return of Donna Yates Mace, master teacher, advocate, and activist for public education. Donna retired after teaching 35 years in public schools in Jacksonville, Florida. She is the mother of six, the grandmother of 16, and the administrator of several Facebook pages, including the new group Parent Strike, with the first target action date being September 17 for communities all across the USA. Hello, Donna, and welcome back.
Hi, Athena, and thank you for having me.
Oh, it's just such a pleasure to have you here. So let's start with, could you tell us the purpose of Parent Strike and group action?
I can. Parent Strike is a very new Facebook group that we have set up to simply coordinate actions of groups that have been taking actions already all across the United States against the corporate takeover of public education. Some groups are acting by opting out of testing. Other groups have different concerns. For instance, money going to charter schools and vouchers, lack of recess for their children, loss of the arts. And so each group is choosing their own action, but we'll all be doing it on the same day, September 17th.
Right. And I, you know, these just nonstop attacks on public education have been just terrible. They've just been horrible. Now, you know, for my listeners, when I said I want to welcome Donna back, Donna was my guest on public education way back in 2011 when we talked about public education today. And since then, these grassroots movements that she has helped start have really grown in momentum. And so I think this parent strike can really be beneficial. And you know, when I started Education Now, Donna, it was to empower parents. So for me, this is just like a celebration.
Well, I'm finding that for a lot of activists, that I think everyone knew it was going to have to be the parents that would have to rise up, that our power is the public. And when they realized what was happening with the public schools and to their children, many, many parents have chosen to remain in the public schools and fight with the teachers and the administrators. So we have quite an army out there now. So all of you who got this started have provided us with a base now that is quite large and is willing to really step out and take actions and speak out against the government and what's happening in their buildings.
Yeah, I just wish that we had more of the mainstream press putting it out there. You know, that what's happening in New York, the parent actions that are happening there, that's getting some press.
That is getting press, and they're several years into it, and they're becoming real leaders for the nation. I know that we have groups in Seattle, groups in Florida, groups in Ohio that are right behind them, and I think we'll be seeing. There will come a time where the mainstream press can no longer ignore us.
Yeah.
It's just going to happen, and they're going to have to say, wow, these parents really are upset.
Right. Public education is the Bernie Sanders of, you know, and when it comes to the press. You know, all of these things going on,
yes.
You know, never consulting experts in education. For instance, the research showing that social skills are more important than academic skills. Do you want to talk about that?
Well, that research is becoming very prevalent, that what we need to be doing with the children in the lower grades is exactly what teachers want to be doing with the children, that we need to put back in our housekeeping centers and our block centers and our play centers, that the children definitely learn by doing that. They learn from being self-directed when they choose their activities. I know that you're from a Montessori background, so you certainly concur with all of this.
I do.
And that the children, what we're doing, forcing a child to read and write math at a very young age and compose stories, that is not even what their brain wants to do. The brain is starting to rebel against that as they get older, and they never got the social skills they needed to cope with any of their frustration or working with groups or any of the things that they're going to be expected to do as adults. So a lot of the researchers now are coming back and saying, I believe in Washington State, they're actually passing a law or working on passing a law that recess children need at least, or kindergarten children need at least two recesses a day, where they go out and they play with each other and they choose what they're going to do and they learn to solve their own problems amongst themselves, which is what many of us got to do, of this older generation I'm part of, when we went to school. So hopefully we'll see our public school administrators who make the decisions and the state's legislators start to read this research from people who really have studied this and have tracked these children for 10, 15 years beyond kindergarten, and realize how important it is for us to do what we know children should be doing at the correct age.
Right. I know one paper I've just read recently where they're, the person's saying, we need to give these soft skills a name to express just how important they are. Let's call them bright. You can't be bright, but people who don't have these skills, they just don't succeed in life. You can know all of your times tables and you can be brilliant, but if you can't communicate it and if you can't create community with other people, you can't be creative with that information. And of course, if they had just gone to experts in child growth and development from the very beginning, they would have known that. So it's just,
right.
It's just makes me so angry. Now,
it appears that we were probably set up with the nation at risk, or even perhaps before that, to become very test focused, and not realizing some people, I think, made honest mistakes, thinking if we taught the skill younger, the child would test better. And now, of course, that's all fallacy, that the children that have been allowed to play actually test as well or better than the children that had to do drill and practice at age 5.
Right. The thing is that it's not that the kids who do the playing and free choice and movement don't learn to read just as quickly. They do. That's the other really sad part about it, is because movement and the hand are so related to reading and to all of those skills that they're supposedly that they care about. And I read recently you posted something on the parent strike group about how, in other nations, they don't do this testing.
No. And that I continue to read on that in most nations, the children, even through high school, are never assessed using multiple choice testing.
Yeah.
That they are assessed by essays they write, by projects they complete, by group assignments that they complete. So we are not assessing our children for what our children need to be able to do as adults.
Right. We really are. What's happening in public education by these so-called reformers has really been hurtful to children. It's really abusive. Yeah, creates the stress and just the sadness. It just makes me so angry. Now, I wanted to, in terms of informing parents, Donna, I saw this list, questions for parents to ask at open house.
Right.
Yeah.
We got that from another group. They shared it with us. I'm looking for it right now.
The Badass Teachers Association, right?
Right. Yeah. It came from the BATS. And the questions are questions not to intimidate a teacher, because hopefully most teachers will welcome these questions, because although they put their job at risk if they speak out, they can always answer a question that a parent asks. And some of those questions are very questions a parent should be asking. Which standardized test will my child be taking this year? Well, that's very important, because the tests have different formats and different skill sets that children need to be prepared for. Another important question in the States nowadays is how much class time will be used for these tests. Many parents grew up, like I did, and my children did, taking a test that maybe took an hour for 2 days. And now we have children I know in my state, Florida, where I recently retired, my fifth graders were sitting for over 15 hours taking tests that were going to assess how well they had succeeded in fifth grade. And so I think that's a real eye-opener to parents to realize the tests aren't the same. Tests have changed in another way. They used to always be paper and pencil. So we encourage parents to ask, will the child be taking the test with paper and pencil, or will they be doing it online? That's a very new trend also coming out. And what we're finding, what I found personally, was although my children are very tech-savvy, they're not particularly laptop savvy. They're used to their handheld devices and their pads, and they had to learn how to use a keyboard, how to maneuver through a rather confusing tool set that they had to be able to use for the test. And parents need to be aware that when they see a child's test score, that perhaps their ability in that subject is not being reflected at all, but their ability to maneuver through the program and the tools they were given to use for that test. So the list goes on, and it's available on ParentStrike. Anyone that wants to go to the group will happily admit you, and you can find it in our files. Another really important question, though, for all parents to ask is, after my child takes this test, two things I'd like to know. How is the data going to be used to improve my child's instruction, and is my child's data going to be protected? Those are important questions that your teacher really cannot answer, but your teacher needs to be able to report it to administration that parents are asking these questions. Essentially, no child's data is used for that child's instruction because no school receives the test scores back until the child has moved to another grade. So the children are sitting for 15 hours, and that particular child will never benefit from that child's test scores. I can't sit down and go, oh, well, here's a weak area I need to work on this still before the child's promoted, because that child has already gone. The teacher has had to make the decision with the parents of promotion or retention or remediation or whatever. Without that piece of data that they say is so crucial, we should spend days reviewing and 15 hours testing for. And the other thing, because everything's online now, is that that data is available. FERPA was changed 4 or 5 years ago, and the school boards, the states, have the right to share your child's data with corporations that are connected with education. So every parent needs to know, is that happening, and with whom is it being shared? Because we all know anything that's out there never goes away. So what do you want your child to find out is out there when they're 30 and applying for their dream job, that might get caught up in this crazy mess of today's world and cause them problems?
All right.
So all parents need to ask that.
Yes, they do. I mean, after all, the privacy, it's the privacy. The other thing that's so very, very frustrating for me, Donna, is that writing, you know, the hand, and by that I don't mean just cursive printing, you know, is writing. But that they've discovered, Montessori knew that, but now, you know, there's absolute definitive proof that it is so important for children to write, that the whole the whole understanding of language, getting the context, and all of that is so connected to writing, and yet we're asking these kids to start keyboarding before they write. This is
right. It's a horrible thing, and so in the writing we do have on due on the computer is canned responses. I've always, as a teacher, told my students, anytime you've read something you really, really love, you really should want to write about it. you should, you know, want to do something with it that you're giving back, because they're the opposites of each other and they go together. Because when you write something, you really want it read. So when you've read something, you should really want to write. And I see these bursts of joy, and then I have to have them put away their joyful writing and get out a laptop. So now they can't do their little thinking doodles while they're writing and all the things children's brains have them do while they're creating or writing. And they have to answer a question and give three statements that defend their statement that they take from some research somebody else did and handed them a copy of. And, you know, they're not. All they're doing is answering questions. They're not creating writing in their brains at all.
No.
So it breaks my heart. And they're doing it on a keyboard. So any part of it, that hand-brain connection, is broken because they're so focused on that keyboard.
Right.
So, yeah, it's sad. And I know that one of the favorite things I loved as a teacher was reading my children's rough drafts as opposed to their published copies, because the rough drafts had all the silly thinking things that were happening while they were writing. I'd find cute little pictures, cute little notes, things they would write themselves to remember to add to their stories. That part is all gone now. They don't even get to let their brain play with it at all.
Yeah.
Once they go to the keyboard. It's sad.
It is. It's just, it's so sad. It just, but I think there's change. I think change is coming. From when you and I were first talking about this back in 2011, don't you feel there's change, Donna?
I feel much better about how many more people have risen up. I feel better that we have people now who are running for office, who are listening to teachers. We have a different group of people stepping up, at least in my state. We're really starting to see it in our school board elections, that there are parents saying, I'll run for school board. There are teachers running for school board. They're saying, we're going to take this back. We are the people that know what our children need, and we're going to start here, and we're going to work our way up, and we're going to save our schools. Back in 2011, back when we were all marching in Washington and everything, I did not have the feeling we were going to win. Now I feel like we're at the turning point, the tipping point, and if we get enough parents to step out with us, we're going to see the changes, because I'm starting to see it in school curriculums, because the parents are just absolutely demanding it.
Right.
So regardless of how the corporations want their charter schools and want to sell us all their software programs and want us to buy their tests, the parents are going, no, that's not really what we want for our kids anymore.
Right.
So, yes, I agree. I think there's going to be change now, and for the better. We've messed up a lot of children's education, but, you know, they're smart people. They'll figure it out, I hope, and help us not do this to any more generations.
Right. I hope not as well, Donna. Well, now, there in Florida, were you, when you were, before you retired, were you allowed to tell the parents if the children were going to be tested?
They knew the children would be tested. We had test schedules. We were not to do anything but encourage the parents to have their children tested. That in Florida, if you do anything that stands in the way of what the state wants done in the schools, you're in violation of contract and can lose your job.
Uh-huh.
So they knew the tests were coming. I could tell them the tests were going to be this many hours every day. I could even show them this last year how much more difficult using some of the different charts, Lexile or something, for instance, to say, this is the level we used to test the children at last year. Now we're up what would be considered two grade levels that your child will test at this year in fifth grade. I could give that information out, and I did. And I think parents were receptive to that. They heard it. They understood what I was saying. And I think that the more that teachers go as far out on the limb as they're allowed to without losing their job, because we certainly don't want anyone to lose their job. We don't have enough good teachers.
Right.
That the more parents will respond and support us.
Yeah, I think so too. Now, I know here in California, teachers were not even to mention the test. You know, the dates would be set up when there would be testing, right? But it wouldn't be announced or anything, you know, or they would just say, we'll be testing next week, so make sure your child has a good breakfast or whatever. But, you know, it wasn't like, can we have your permission to test your child? You know, you ask them for permission for everything else. You know, it wasn't like send a little note home. Do we have permission to test your child? Even though legally that parent should be able to say yes or no.
Right, and you know, that's funny because anything else we do in Florida, whether it's asking a child to wear a uniform, asking a child to read a book that might be questionable, the parent always has the right to opt out of it. But then when we get to testing, our state says there is no provision to allow a parent to refuse to have their child take the test. So very interesting, because these children do not belong to the state. They are part of a family unit who is responsible for them.
These are
so
not the state's
confusing.
Children. Yeah.
No, they are not the state's children.
Right.
So Florida parents have found a way around that by doing what they call having their children minimally participate, which means that the child accepts the test. They either log in on the computer or sign on the test booklet that they have taken it, and then they either close the test booklet, or if they are on the computer, after they have logged in, they immediately click test completed and log out.
Well, now, did you see that the Senate, there was a bill passed states now have the choice. They don't have to test.
Right, but that's because my feeling is the federal government didn't want to make the decision one way or the other. So they've just passed that problem down to the states. It'll be interesting because the state's funding from the federal government depends on the test scores. So I cannot imagine that a state's going to say, no, just keep the money. We won't test.
Yeah.
So this should be interesting as it plays out.
Right.
How
wasn't there something about and that they couldn't withhold funds?
That's a big controversy, because in New York, they have just recently been told that they will be withholding funds from all the Title I schools that mm-hmm. had too many children not test. But I think that was going to be a state decision, not a federal decision. That bill, I don't think, I'm trying to think where it is right now. Has it completely played out, or is it was voted on by the Senate, but the House hasn't taken it back up or something? So it's still kind of being messed around with in Washington, is my understanding. And
I see.
So I think it's going to be one of those very interesting things. I think that they created this testing monster, and now it's a thorn in everyone's side, and they don't know how to get rid of it.
Yeah,
so
well, they could start by just, you know, exposing that corruption.
Yeah.
I mean, these are corrupt. Pearson and their ilk, these are the same people that put out these terrible textbooks that have lies in them, that don't even mention global warming, that, you
mm-hmm.
know, that deny science. These are the same people. These are the same families involved in both of these adventures. And this is just, we need to do away with them. And I'm sorry that the unions haven't taken a stronger stand. I was speaking with somebody about that yesterday, and I always say it, but it's really difficult to be too hard on the unions, because then you give fodder, you give to those people who want to union bust, you know, who want to take our right to collectively bargain, right? I don't want to give them any food, you know, to play with, but really I feel like the Chicago Union and the union, the teachers there in Washington, they are doing their job, and I think that in LA I see the union is playing a bigger role. But from my perspective, those of the union should have come out really strong from the very beginning to in the defamation of character of teachers and the abuse of our children. And so I'm just really hoping that the unions are listening.
Well, I think that we're going to probably not so much publicly, but I know that I am aware that many, many more teachers are calling out their union leaders on some of the poor decisions that we feel they have made. So they're starting to really hear us. And I mean, and most of us are very pro-union. We understand that without that union, we have no power in our schools at all or in our government for education. So we, you're right, we can't walk away from our union when we disagree with it, but we definitely need to step up and say, as the professionals in the classroom, we don't agree with what you, the decisions you're making and what you're supporting and who you're accepting money from to keep this union going. Let's look at another way to do these things. So hopefully that with teachers bolder to speak out to their union leaders, and again, just like I'm seeing in school board elections, I'm seeing a lot of teachers starting to run for positions in their locals of their unions.
Right.
So that's a very good thing. And these teachers are having a real hard time because administration's going after them. And there's just, you know, they're having a very difficult time for speaking out. So I really applaud them that they're willing to speak out, speak up, and possibly put their job at risk to change the direction of our unions.
Yeah, that's, I'm proud of them too. Now, in Florida, do you have an appointed school board or an elected? There where you are.
Okay, I believe every district in Florida, and our districts are by county, so we have huge districts. Every district has an elected school board, and then the district itself has decided by the vote of the citizens whether they'll have an appointed or an elected school board chairman. In my district where I taught, our school board chairman or our head guy is appointed by our school board, our head superintendent. In the district where I reside, we elect our superintendent. So it's different throughout the state.
I see. Because I know that in Chicago, Philip Cantor was telling me that it's an appointed school board.
Right, and that's one of the things I know they're fighting, the citizens in Chicago, to get to elect their school board. Because
right.
If you don't have an elected school board, I don't know what voice the citizens have in the schools at all.
Yeah, right. And I think each, in my opinion, each county, each community should be in charge of their own schools. You know,
I agree.
You know, that would be, how it was supposed to be. I mean, that was how it was meant to be. And, and so perhaps we'll get back there. Now, this action, this first action, I know that, it's called, September 17th is called Constitution Day, right?
Right. Well, that is a day that actually our government has officially said is Constitution Day. So we're just using their day. They gave it to us.
Right.
So we're going to use it.
was this something that you dreamt up with others, or was it a particular person who dreamt up this idea?
This particular group, Parent Strike, is really the brainchild of Dr. Robert Valiant, and many people are familiar with him from Dump Dunk pages long ago, back when we gathered petitions to ask to get rid of Arnie Duncan a long time ago. And so Dr. Valiant has worked for years gathering people and putting them in connection with each other and supporting teachers. He mentored me from my very beginning of activism, answering questions and pointing me in the right direction for research and people to connect to. And this summer, he said, I think it's time. And so I mulled over that for a few days, and I reached out to him, and I said, I think I agree with you. Let's do this. And so that's how it started. He had posted it in several different opt-out groups around the nation, and people were very responsive and receptive to the idea. So that's how it got started. So it's something Dr. Valiant really has been working to nurture, very similar in the ways you've been working to get people active over all these years, and now it's just all coming together.
Right. Now, where is Dr. Valiant? Where is he from?
He is from Washington State.
All right. Yeah, okay. Well, that's good to know. So Dr. Robert Valiant, he's sort of the person who, this was his egg, his dream child, and he's up in Washington State. There's so many good things happening up in Washington, with the teachers there. I'm so proud of them and the parents.
Oh, yes.
Isn't it exciting?
Anyone that follows the Washington teachers right now and what they did last spring with their rolling blackouts and walkouts and things should just be very, very impressed by them. They're not harming their students with their actions, but they're certainly calling attention to what's going on in their school districts.
They sure are. And Dora Taylor has done a good job of getting, you know, what they're doing out there to the public. And I'm so pleased that we've had her on.
Anywhere I look, Dora's been there too. It's like, wow, she is kind of like, I know she's really pushing opt out and look what Seattle did and, you know, we're going to do better and what are you going to do with your area? And it's very impressive because you're very motivated and other peers are very motivated when they see the success another area has had. It's like, okay, we can do this too.
That's right.
She's very much an encourager by sharing what her groups are doing.
Right. So what when it comes to, let's get back to the action now, the parent strike action. And the first action you're calling for is on September 17th, right?
And yes, ma'am.
And that, you're saying every community across the entire nation, not just
a state or anything, we have already heard back from Long Island, of course, because they were on top of it. We've heard back from Newark, New Jersey. Of course, Seattle is busy with some plans. Orlando is working on actions. I've heard from groups in Ohio that are working on actions. And then we have smaller actions I've heard about in many of the different states that have active opt-out groups. So some of the actions will be very small. They might just be parents have painted on their cars, refused the test, or opt out. Some of them are major gatherings of hundreds or thousands of parents. So it's going to be very interesting to see what takes place. But I do know that, I mean, I have seen events going around on social media like crazy where people have already planned their actions. I've seen groups that plan to circle their schools, groups that are doing sidewalk art about refusing the test around their schools where the children and the parents walk to school every day. So signs being put up. I've seen a group that was working on a mock cemetery where the gravestones read, "Here lies art, here lies recess." And it seems that the children have lost because of Common Core education. So they're having fun with it. I know one group, maybe I've heard from more than one, but there may be two or three that are sponsoring informational meetings that day. They have gone all out, and they're actually setting up locations and meeting with parents to explain what's going on in the schools. So everyone's having different ways of handling it. It's where their group is and what they think they need to do for their community, kind of like our schools should be. So that is what is happening on September 17th.
Well, I think
so. I hope anyone listening, even if they're hearing this on September 15th, goes and buys some car paint, at least they've refused the test on their car to drive around with that day. Plus, we've, of course, asked everyone to wear red that day. Teachers, students, all grown-ups that ever hear about it. So
yes, we're
it
red.
It should be a fun day.
Right. You know, for our listeners who don't know, one of Donna's other Facebook pages that she's an administrator of, is Wear Red for Ed, meaning Wear Red for Public Education, which she started a long time ago. And they did a lot of great actions in D.C., and so that's what she's saying. Please wear red for your actions. And I intend...
Right, please put the red on.
I intend to post this... right, you know, sometime right this week. So hopefully, and I'm going to give it a lot of press. And I know, especially with a lot of the, you know, the actual, not just the opt out groups, but you know, the you know, the groups that we got started when we we all got started when we were when we protested against Occupy. There we go. That's the word.
Oh,
I was like,
yes, the Occupy group has been very supportive, the ones I've reached out to.
Yes, well, I deal with a lot of them, and I'll be sure that this gets press on a lot of the Occupy pages, because those groups are used to taking action.
They are, and they have always, when I've approached the Occupy groups in the southeastern United States area, have been very supportive, have been very receptive, have shared my information out so it gets to parents I might not have otherwise reached. So, yes, a lot of people think that movement's gone, but that movement is very much alive and very supportive of actions other groups are taking.
Right. Oh, that group is going well. There's no, it is not gone. Believe me, it is doing a lot of great work, in a lot of places, educating people, and they've gotten bigger. And just like Bernie, and just like the teachers, they just can't get that press. But that media, which is ours, you know, it's our media. But a lot of people don't know that either. So
And since our media is owned by the same people that like the Pearson publishers and that crowd, it makes it very difficult to get the attention anytime it's calling out against their friends and cronies.
Right. It is. But, you know, we the people really do own the media. It's just that most people don't know that. And we let people use it as a matter of public trust. And they've betrayed that trust. And in Canada, they've taken that microphone away from Fox News because of that very same, that issue. You can't lie to the public.
Right.
And so we need to do something like that. You know, we need to say you can't lie. You know, otherwise, how could we possibly have such these jerks that are running for president on the Republican ticket if we didn't have such a corrupt system? I don't know. Now, one thing I was wanting to ask you, Donna, was, do you feel that it would behoove teachers to do a class action lawsuit for defamation of character? I keep thinking about this. It's kind of like, why aren't the big unions going like, we're going to bring a class action lawsuit against, you know, Microsoft,
Bill Gates,
for defamation of character. We're going to these people who keep bad-mouthing teachers, who keep saying things about them, or who keep putting people in who have no teaching experience for Teach of America. I don't blame those kids, you know, because they're just trying to find a job on their way, right?
They're 22 years old and idealistic and need a job.
Right. But still, you know, it's our children they're experimenting on, and these people have not been prepared to do the job. Now, if we didn't know how to train teachers, people from Finland and these countries that are so successful wouldn't be sending people here to learn.
So, it is ironic that they come to our schools to look at our teacher colleges, and yet in our own country, we think we can prepare you to teach in 5 weeks.
Yes. See, this is why there needs to be a lawsuit. This is what I mean. They need to. It needs to be brought down in my opinion, in a big way. So I'm a little bit more radical than other people. But
I think you're just thinking what we wish would happen. I do know that in New York, there is a lawsuit that a teacher has filed against the state against the use of that VAM formula for assessing teachers and determining whether or not we're effective. And so that's an interesting piece. It's already been in court once, so they're waiting for the judge now to make a decision or a ruling or whatever. So we're getting little pieces of it in place. And I do believe you're right. The Bill Gates people they need to either step out of education, or we need to say, you know, you're right. They are defaming us, because I've never worked with a poor teacher. And that concerns me when people keep going, well, how do you get rid of the bad teachers? Well, I think the bad teachers quit because they knew they weren't doing a good job. And the rest of us that are in there are working as hard as we can.
That's right.
Yeah. I don't think anyone joined it because it was going to be an easy job to be a teacher.
No, so. You have to love children, and that's for sure. And you have to know how children grow. You have to know something about child growth and development. You have to know, and you also have to be able to communicate, which means you need to have some pretty good soft skills as a teacher. And that means that you need to have had a well-rounded education, which we're not giving these kids now. Well, you know,
no,
here.
You're right. These people have a hard time doing anything.
We don't even want to talk about what well-rounded means. I mean, it's insane. Well, Donna, here in California, a lot of parents don't know this either. You can opt your child out. There's no question. All you have to do is fill out a form as a private school, you know, that you are a private school. And then, you know, your child doesn't have to go to public school. Now, I know that that's not how it is. You know, it's very difficult for many people who choose to homeschool or, you know, to keep their children out of school. But here in California, that's not the case. And that's been nice, because it's, in a way, it's helped to inform more and more parents. It's sad, because when you think about the kids and the parents who don't know, and how they're not getting to meet each other, you know, and socialize, and everything that really good public schools used to do so well, that we were probably products of. And so that's a sad part. But on the other hand, the parents, if they know, they do have the power here in California.
Well, in Florida, a parent can also choose to homeschool, but they have to do the paperwork, of course, so the districts know where the children are, and then they either have to have their child evaluated via portfolio of the child's work for the year, or the child gets to come and take the same test the public school children do, so, which most people do not choose that option.
Right.
The child is, evaluated by portfolio. And like you said, though, that's a huge responsibility on a family to provide the education and the social needs that child's going to need to have while they're growing up. What I will say, in Florida, I have found is a lot of parents have chosen to either homeschool, or some have moved to private if they could afford it, and yet they continue to support the fight for quality public schools.
Yes, that's certainly what I did.
Just, you know, that's very important. I understand that right now, if you're in a situation where you feel like your child's education is being compromised and you have a better option, by all means, take it. But don't leave us out here fighting alone. You know, that's the thing that, you know, I ask. You know, do what you need to for your child and make sure your child gets the education you want your child to have. But please stay with us, because there's lots of other children whose parents, for many different reasons, cannot exercise those other options and must use the public schools, which should be a school that's good enough. We all want to use it.
Right.
So, you know, that was our original intent, I thought, was to provide a quality education to all children. So
yes.
I want to get back to that.
Yeah, that's the truth, that part of the American dream. And it all came down with Ronald Reagan, and that's when I pulled my kids out. And that's when this whole country started going into a tailspin. And everybody was like, oh no, it's wonderful, because we're in the middle class, we have money. You know, it was so funny to, you know, to
yeah,
see them.
You didn't have money, didn't you?
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's pretty pathetic. Well,
and unfortunately, that's when most of our parents now grew up. So they grew up at the end of the good times, and they went to the schools during the transition, but they didn't get the beating that their children are now getting in public schools.
Right.
So that's where we have to really help them understand.
Yes, we do. We do.
The change. Yes.
Yeah. And we do. We definitely need to do to help them understand. And I think we're getting there. Now, once again, this action is on September 17th. I mean, what we want, you were encouraging people to do something right on that day. And then how could people let each other know what they did so that we can, you know, feel kind of connected?
They did a posting in the group, Parent Strike, so we can see what they are doing. And what we are looking at doing then is setting up a Facebook page. So you wouldn't have to join our group, but we would be able to post all the actions so people could go and look and see what was done and, you know, get ideas for the next action that they may want to take. And then it would be openly available for the media to pick it up should they ever decide to cover what we're doing.
Yes! Oh, that's a great idea, Donna. That's a great idea. I know you, I mean, you're a great, and will you probably be one of the administrators?
Of the new page?
Yeah.
the scrapbook page? Yes, I'm probably, we have several people that definitely help us a lot, and I would, of course, be watching what's going on and helping also to right. make sure that got set up. So people would be able to visit it. We'd probably even set it up maybe as September 17th and Parent Strike. So people would know those were things that happened on that day.
Right. So for people who are listening to the program, on September 17th, probably, if you went to Facebook and you put in there Parent Strike, you would probably find the page that's not a private closed group.
Right,
but
it'd be an open community.
But an open community where they could post actions that they did, or where I could go, or others could go and get stories that they can then share. That's exciting.
That will be available. So, yes, because it needs to go public. Right now, we're just kind of letting it go through the group, and I'm watching event pages. But, yes, you are definitely correct. It needs to all be made open to the public once it all takes place.
Yes. So. Yeah, once it gets going. And now the other page that you are administrator of there on Facebook's Teacher to Teacher, did you start that one before Where Red for Public Ed? Where Red for...
No, I actually started Teacher to Teacher as a result of Where Red for Ed, which was Where Red for Public Ed until the page disappeared and we had to rebuild it. As I would be searching and getting stuff from teachers around the nation to post on Where Red, because we run it pretty much like a news thing, and here's a lot of actions, you know, find yours and make sure you're part of it, teacher. I always found all these wonderful, wonderful ideas for the classrooms, and I just could not stand to part with them. So I thought, well, you know, I can't just keep stuffing this in virtual memory forever. So I set up the page with the help of a colleague, Teacher to Teacher, and I try to keep that not as political, which is hard for me, but we share with lots of ideas and activities and things from the different types of schooling, Montessori or Waldorf or Waldorf or whatever, and just so teachers keep seeing ideas, because in my heart, I'm a teacher, and I see something, I think, that is so cool. I find a video of a spider molting, I think, oh, I'd love to show that to my students. Why don't I share it with these other 10,000 teachers? Because they might want to show it to their students, too.
Right.
And so that's how Teacher to Teacher got started. That was just the teacher passion of me. It was like, oh, I found this. I just want to share it with everybody I know.
I think that's wonderful.
So that's why that page exists.
And
they share with each other, and it's not a page I've ever had to babysit. Teachers get on there, and they talk to each other, and it's great. It's a giant teacher's lounge kind of thing.
That's wonderful. I'll have to go explore there.
Yeah, well, please post stuff that you find there, because you have so much rich experience, especially with the early childhood and what those kids need.
Well, thank you so much, Donna. Well, now, let's see, for our listeners, contact information for Donna. She's giving out her email, which is dmace8@aol.com. D for Donna, dmace8, the number 8, at aol.com. And she's on Facebook at Donna Yates Mace. And, You can also go to Education Now if you and you can hear the interview that I did with Donna on public education today back in 2011. And I hope, you know, that you will enjoy it. I've really enjoyed having you as a guest today. I just was so excited. And I'm just so excited about this action, Donna.
Oh, I am too. I just, you know, I think I'm most excited because people started responding with just such glee, like, oh yeah, we can all do something the same day.
Yeah.
And it was like, that's what we want, yay!
Yeah.
So it was exciting.
It is. It is exciting. It's like holding hands across the whole nation. I love the image of it, and I think it's and I think a lot of other people will like it too, frankly. So I want to thank you so much for all the work that you do, and for saying yes to being my guest today on Education Now. And like I said, I'll be posting the show within a few days. You'll get the promotion for your approval in the email, and then once I get approval from you, when you get that email again from me about the show, it will mean it has been launched.
Okay.
All right. Well, thank you so much to
your. Thank you for letting me talk about Parent Strike today, because I am excited about it.
Oh, I'm very excited about Parent Strike, and thank your family for sharing you with me today. It was
real. Let them know.
It was beautiful of them. Tell them I know how hard it is to share. And again, Donna, thank you, and have a wonderful rest of the day.
Okay, and you too.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Who are on the road must have a code that you can live by, and so become yourself, because the past is just a goodbye. Teach your children well, their father's hell did slowly go by, and feed them on your dreams, the one they picked, the one you know.